Thank you for listening to this message from More to Life Ministries.
We're in John chapter 14. I told you last week I wasn't going to finish the message. I just stopped and then we'll just pick up and we're going to do that very thing. Last week the message was entitled The Helper. And so this is the Helper part two. This is the second part of that. So we're going to be picking up there again. Father God, I love you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we get to be here. We get to worship. We get to celebrate you. We get to sing your praises. We get to cry out in prayer. And we get to dig in your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak. That you would speak far beyond the words of this preacher. Lord, that you would be glorified and that people will be drawn to you because of it. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. The helper, of course, is the Holy Spirit. We established that last week. I want to go back and review just a couple of things that we talked about. And one of the main things that we wanted you to grasp, because when you look at John 14, 15, 16, and 17, I told you that was really like Jesus' farewell address. As he's addressing his disciples and subsequently us in the future. And he talked about all different kind of things through that time. But among them was the introduction and the picture of the Trinity. And he lays out really, really strong terms, especially in the middle of chapter 14, that he and the Father are one. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Literally, I am the Father and the Father is me. We are one. He goes back and forth about that. And I wanted you, because for so long, you know, we read the reference and we say, well, he's God's son. And so you get the picture that he's God's son. And he is God's son. And he was the physical manifestation of God on this earth, but he was also fully God. He was not a chip off the old block. He was the original block. Okay? You have to know that. That my son is back there on the computer today. He's running the thing, Brandon. And Brandon, he looks like me. He sounds like me lots of times. He's more handsome. He's skinnier. He's stronger. He's all of those things. He's a much better husband, a much better father, a much better preacher. But he's not Carrie 2.0. He's Brandon. He happens to be my son. I am not in him, and he is not in me. We are not one. He's my son. But with the Father and the Son, they are one. They are one. With the Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit of Jesus, that's imparted to each one of us as we come to know Christ, they are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. We looked at that last week. We're going to pick up right there with that idea. And we find it in John 14. Verses, the end of verse 9 and 10, it just says, have I been with you so long that you still don't know me, Philip? And Philip says, whoever seen me has seen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? And one of the last things we said last week was that if someone looks at you as a believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, they should see the Lord. Do they see the Lord in you? That was the question we ended with. Do they see the Lord in you? And you might think, man, not all the time. And not all the time might be correct in my behavior. But he's still in me. My spirit came alive in Christ. His spirit came to dwell within me. And we're going to pick up right there. Last week we talked about the greater things that we'll do. We talked about the helper, the paracletos, the advocate, the comforter, the counselor. That he is in me and I am here. Verse 18, this is what we're going to pick up for this week. I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus is right, is saying all this. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. Now, there was reference early in the first part of chapter 14 where we see what could be a reference to the second coming. And we're going to see it again. I will come to you. He's going to come to us again one day. Amen? He's coming again. It's going to be soon. But he was also, as he speaks to the disciples like this, going to come to them again after the resurrection. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be resurrected. He's going to come to them again. And he's also going to come to them again and us again in the form of the Holy Spirit. In every single way, I will come to you. He will not leave us as orphans. Back then, if you were a student of a rabbi, if you were a follower, a rabbi was a teacher. Jesus, they called him rabbi, he was a teacher. And there were many rabbis who would travel around. They would have a following. And that following, lots of times, they would refer to the rabbi as father and the following, the people, the disciples of the rabbi as his children. And so if the rabbi died, if something happened to him, then it was like they were orphans. And Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going away, but I will come to you. I will come to you. And it's not going to be the cheaper version of me. It's not going to be the improved version of me. It's not the Father 2.0. And it's not less than either. I will come to you. And I will come to you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And church, you've got to know that he's come to you today. He's come to you. And he indwells you. And the Spirit of the living God lives within you if you're a believer today. He dwells in you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I'm going to show myself to him. Last week we talked about the obedience and the importance of following God's command. Not just the Big Ten, not just the things written, but whatever he tells us to do. Listening to his voice, hearing his voice, and acting in obedience to that. Listen, God honors obedience. He does. He honors obedience. If you're a parent in this room, how important was the obedience of your children? Some of you are shaking your head. Some of you are like, I wish. Listen, to God the Father, he still wants obedience out of his children. Yes, there is grace. Praise God, there is grace. I'm not going to live perfectly. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't call me to holy. It doesn't mean that he doesn't call me to complete surrender. And in that surrender, that he doesn't still ask for obedience. And when we begin to show him love, understand how much we're loved, love him back in the same way, and be in obedience because of that, he will manifest himself to you and in you. And I've seen it time and time again. I've seen it in this congregation, how the Lord manifests himself in your life, a fully surrendered life. This morning I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine, and he was talking about his mother-in-law who has Alzheimer's. And that's a wretched disease. Many of y'all know and understand what that's like. They lose their ability, you lose your ability to cognitively think in the moment. There's chapters missing, there's all the stuff, and it just begins to go away, and it affects your mind and it affects communication. But this is what he said. He said, I heard her pray the other day. And when she started to pray, she was all there. When she started to pray, she was connected. When she started to pray, God manifested himself in her and through her. And I see that in this congregation. You've seen it maybe in your home. Someone gives their life to Christ. They're fully surrendered to Christ. They begin to walk with him in obedience. And everything changes. Their countenance changes. They look different. They come home, they act different, and all of a sudden, everything around them is different. That's what happens when God shows up, amen? That's what happens when he manifests himself in a believer. He begins to show up in a tangible way that you can see. We're gonna talk in the coming week about all kinds of different ways that God manifests himself in the way of fruit that he produces within believers, in the way of gifts that he gives us, and God shows up only to point back to him. will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. God doesn't want to leave you as an orphan. He doesn't want to leave you in the dark. He doesn't want to leave you to the point where you don't know where he's at or wonder if he's even there. Oh, no, he's there. He's there. If you're married to, if you're married to a believer, you should see Jesus in your spouse. You should be able to look at them at different times and go, well, thank you. Because you're ministering to me. You're loving on me through them. And it's you being manifest in our home through them. Praise him, amen? Praise him. So, he says, Judas, not Iscariot, Judas said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Not to the world. And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Not just my commandments, but my word, which applies to everything in this book, correct? It also applies to everything that he said. I just lost a page on my Bible. Look at that. Sorry about that. Heaven's gone, yeah, I am. He'll keep my word. He'll do what I tell him to do. He'll do what he's instructed to do. And my Father will love him. And if you write in your Bible, circle this. Who does it say will come to them? We. And we will come to him and make our home. I told you that word last week that shows up right there in verse 23. That word is mone. And that word means dwelling. We'll make our dwelling with him. We will come to him and we will make our dwelling with him. We will show up, and we will live with him. Within you, within me. But whoever does not love me does not keep my word, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit. You stop right there. We just sang just a moment ago, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is a Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. It's the Holy Truth. Because that's the Spirit of Jesus. Amen? He is a Holy Spirit. That of all the things that he does, he teaches and he counsels and he guides and he leads and he reminds. Of all the things that he does, he's a filter to us. He is holy. He's not a spirit of anger. He's not a spirit of dissension. He's not a spirit of rage. He's not a spirit of revenge. He is the Holy Spirit. He's not a spirit that puffs up. He is the Holy Spirit. Every part of him is in direct keeping with the character of God, with the person of Jesus Christ that walked this earth for 33 years. Every single part of him, he is holy. Do you know you have something holy living within you, believer? There's a Spirit of the living God who's holy dwelling within you. That should change things, shouldn't it? I used to say all the time, like, we know, we understand that many people have seen, and we get the fact that demons are real. And I used to say to people, if the most vile and horrible, ugly demon on the face of the earth came and invaded you, indwelled you, would it make a difference? You'd think, certainly it would, right? Well, if the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, comes to indwell you, it should make an impact. It should change you. He should change you. He dwells within you, and he is holy, which is the call of the holy for us. I know that it is in our spirit that we've fully been redeemed already. I know that our soul is still being saved. And I know that one day my flesh will. But I can't walk around with the excuse that I'm just in my flesh right now and acting out. God still calls me to holy, including my flesh. flesh doesn't always act holy. My soul, there's a battle over that soul all the time between the spirit and the flesh. We're going to get to that in Galatians 5 in a couple of weeks. There's always a battle there going on. My flesh may not act holy, but that doesn't mean we're not called to holy. And we have the ability and the capability to react that way because the Holy Spirit lives within us. Amen? You do, church. We do. We do. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Now, in just a little while, we're going to read in chapter 16 as Jesus went through. He says, there's more that I want to teach you. But right now, he says, the Holy Spirit that I'm going to send, he is going to be your tutor. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to remind you of all things. He's going to continue to reiterate, I don't know about you, but I've got to learn things more than once. I have to read them more than once. I have to hear them more than once. I have to, you know, somebody asked me the other day, haven't you preached on the Holy Spirit before? Oh, yeah, whole life. Haven't I preached on this passage before? Yes, I have. I haven't got it yet, so you probably haven't either. So we'll keep going over it until we do, amen? So he's going to be our teacher. How many of you did really well in school? There's a couple of you. Congratulations. You know what that means about the rest of us? We struggle. We needed a tutor. I needed a tutor in college. I met this smoking hot brunette tutor. She was amazing. Amazing. I got through school because of her. I don't know how much I learned, but I married her after that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it because she was one of those that did really well in school, and I was one of those that struggled in school sometimes because I was very distracted by a tutor. But now, he has become your tutor. Do you know he's with you? Do you know he wants to help you learn to read his word? He wants to do that. Because sometimes, I get it, you start reading his word and you go, I'm struggling here. The Holy Spirit wants to be your tutor. He is your tutor. He will help you. Listen, before you got saved, some of you may have tried to read God's word and it was just words on a page and meant nothing to you. And then after you gave your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you and all of a sudden things started jumping off the page at you. They started looking different. It came alive because he is alive. And all of a sudden, it became very real. It was probably 10 or 12 years ago, and he no longer lives here. I'm going to tell a story without using his name, but we had a man in our church that gave his life to Christ, got radically saved, praise God, but he really struggled to read. He didn't read really at all. And we had another lady in our church who happened to be a teacher, a retired teacher, and she was a tutor, and she heard about it, and she decided that she would help him, and she began to teach him. And very, 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 very quickly, in a way that I would say was supernatural, he learned to read. And he began to read God's word for himself because he had a desire to read God's word for himself. Praise him. Amen? Praise him. Because God showed up and the Lord manifested himself in that moment and the tutor of the Holy Spirit began to teach him. He wants to teach you. He also wants to bring back to your memory everything that you've learned. And he will in the moment. He will. There's times when there's all of a sudden God will bring this verse back. He'll bring this something you studied before. He'll bring back this concept. He'll bring back this principle. He'll bring back this truth. And it's the Holy Spirit bringing it to your memory and you're like, yes, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. What he does. He teaches and he reminds us of all things. He did that for the disciples. He's still doing that for us. Look with me over in chapter 15 at the very end of 15. And we're going to come back and we're going to hit more 15 in the coming weeks when we begin to talk about fruit especially. But all the way over the end of chapter 15, verse 26. It says, when the Helper comes, Jesus is still speaking, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. He's going to bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit never speaks contrary to Jesus. He always points people back to Jesus. Always. Always, always, always. He will always bear witness about him, and he gives us the ability to do the same thing. Remember in the book of Acts, I don't think I gave you this one, but in Acts 1:8, Luke writes, Jesus speaking, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses like in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. He's going to fill you with power, and you're going to go out and you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to point people back to me. Well, up until then, they've been walking with him for 3 years. They've been with him everywhere. At the same time, before the Holy Spirit, they weren't very effective witnesses. Before the Holy Spirit, they weren't filled with power. Before the Holy Spirit, they fought a lot, argued a lot over who was the best. Before the Holy Spirit, they weren't sure they were even supposed to be there all the time. They kept looking for Jesus to, again, turn the world around and be the leader of the world at that time, take over the Roman government, kick them out, be the king of the Jews. That's what they were looking for, Messiah, to do that. Jesus had a whole other plan. And they became his witnesses, so much his witnesses that even unto death they were his witnesses. My wife always says, people don't die for a lie. And I would add to that, people don't die for a lie that they know is a lie. If you know something's a lie, you're probably not going to give your life for the lie. But they all gave their life. Every single one of them except John were martyred for the cause of Christ. Every single one of them gave their life, had their life taken. Had they known it was a lie, they wouldn't have done that. But it wasn't a lie. They became his witnesses, filled with his Spirit, pointing people back to Jesus the whole entire time. Listen, you have that same Spirit within you. You have that same Spirit. He wants you to be his witnesses. The Holy Spirit in you will bear witness of him. I have said these things, chapter 16. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. Man, now it gets a little tough. I told you all these things to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogue. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. Whoever kills you will think they're doing God a favor. Whoever kills you will think they're doing the right thing. Of course, we know Paul became that person later on. He persecuted the church. He was part of it, but that persecution was very real. They experienced it in their lifetime, very real. We don't necessarily see that in America today, but it still happens today. It's still happening overseas. If you get home and you're just interested in that at all, Google Voice of the Martyrs. Just type it in, Voice of the Martyrs. Voice of the Martyrs is an organization, a Christian organization, that keeps track of the persecuted church all over the world. There's story after story after story after story today of the persecuted church, of people that are going through, even unto death, things because of Christ. People that end up being martyred. In 2024, And while, again, that may not happen in 2024 in the United States, it could one day. It very well could one day. I remember I preached in this passage years ago. I had a little note in my Bible there. I wrote it down. Preachers don't get killed in the pulpit very often anymore for what they say in the United States. Maybe that's because what we're saying is not strong enough. I don't know. I'll tell you, that's not the case here. Now, if we're offensive, shame on us. But if the Word offends, that's the Word. Amen? God's Word doesn't change. It doesn't change. We need to be straightforward with what His Word says. Sometimes preachers get way too cute. They try to be way too cute with the Word and with the truth and way too loose with it. And here at Mortal Life, we don't want to be loose with it. We know that we have to answer to Him for what we share from here. Amen? So Jesus warns them. He says, listen, that time's coming. I've shared all these things with you. I've talked with you about what I'm sending you, the helper, because He's going to help you through these times. I've talked to you about this umbilical relationship, this vine and branch relationship that you need in order to make it this world. I don't want you to fall away. I don't want you to fall away. I pray that it never happens here. But if somebody came through the door and all of a sudden, and we have security here, but still, if all of a sudden we were all held at gunpoint, and a gunpoint is you and said, you're not Christ now or die. That's what they were facing. That's what was coming. Deny that you're a believer of Jesus Christ or die. That's it. Jesus said, I don't know. You have a helper, so you won't fall away. You have a helper. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I've said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you. You're going to remember it. When it comes up, you're going to remember it. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to Him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that you go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. I'm with people all the time at the end of their lives. I've gotten to be just recently with several different people at the end of their lives. And the same thing gets said a lot of people when you're in hospice situation or they're dying or even after they pass away, they're in a better place. They're better off. I hear that. And truly, that is true for the believer. For the believer that dies, that is 100% true. Is their best day ever? They wouldn't come back. Best situation? They've never been so well and so whole as at that moment. So it is to their advantage that they go away. It is. But Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I leave you. Because I'm going to leave the Helper with you. I'm going to send the Helper with you. Up until then, they had followed Him around and they had watched Him. And even though they traveled with Him, and even though they gave up their lives for 3 years to be discipled by Him, they couldn't watch Him 24-7. They didn't watch Him 24-7. But now He says, I'm going to dwell in you in the person of my Spirit, to be with you forever, inside of you. And that's to your advantage. That's to your advantage. We've spoken before about, you know, when we get to heaven, how many of you want to ask things of like David or Moses or Noah? You want to just say, we see him for the first time. Hey, David, man, tell me about that. You're standing there with nothing but a sling, you know, and some rocks, and this guy's 9 foot tall. Tell me about that. And He's going to look you in the eye and say, tell me what it was like to have the Holy Spirit every day, 24-7. Because He didn't. The Holy Spirit rested upon them in seasons and in times, as I shared last week, prophets, priests, judges, kings, the Holy Spirit would come upon them in power and would be with them in power. But to dwell in them, that didn't happen until Christ. That didn't happen until this moment. He's sharing what's about to come. When I go away, it's going to be far better for you. You don't know it yet. You don't know it yet. But you'll never have to be alone again. Why is your hand? Anybody feel alone sometimes? Listen, if you're a child of the King, you're never alone. You don't have to be alone. He's always with you. He's always with you. We'll get through this today. He says, verse 8, and when he comes, he will convict the world. Now, first of all, we might circle this too. He will convict the world. When we see the reference to the world, that's everybody, right? But it's also the lost world. He'll convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, he convicts the saved world also. We'll get to that in just a second. But he'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Let me explain to you what that is. He's going to bring conviction to the lost world regarding sin. We are in a sinful condition before Christ. I won't say amen, I should say oh me, right? Amen means let it be so, but it already is so. We are in a sinful condition before Christ. That every single one of us needs a Savior. For all of sin, that comes short of the glory of God. We don't have a choice on that. We could have tried to be good all our lives. We could have had great parents who raised us really well. But by nature, we were born into sin. And we were hopeless and helpless to do anything about it. The Holy Spirit, if you're His child today, convicted you of your sin. Convicted you of your condition. And at the same time, He brought conviction of the fact that the condition of man was a sinful condition, but the condition of God was a holy condition. It was a righteous condition. God was completely righteous, completely without sin. He was a holy God. We were completely sinful. He was completely righteous. So, before you got saved, you came to that point where you realized there was a holy God, and there was a sinful you, and there was a separation because of that. And He convicts you in regard to judgment because those two things don't mix. They don't mix, do they? Sinful man without Christ meets holy God. All that's left is wrath. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were by nature children of wrath. That's what we were because sinful man, me, sinful Carey, holy God, without Jesus, children of wrath. That's what it says at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in our trespasses, or dead in our transgressions and sins, in which we once lived, we were by nature children of wrath, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, sent His only Son, offered us a free gift of grace. So the Holy Spirit, one of the things He does for the world is He brings conviction to them regarding those three things. Regarding our condition, regarding God's condition, and regarding what must happen because of that. Every one of you that know Christ in this room have been convicted by the Holy Spirit in those three ways. That's how you got saved. That's how some will get saved today. Some will recognize today, I didn't even have to tell them what it was. They in their own mind, they know. They know. They know what their condition is. They recognize what His condition is. They realize that there is a great chasm fixed between the two that no man can cross of his own. and they realize that judgment waits for the non-believing children of wrath. To describe it, I heard somebody describe it this way. If you could picture this wall, anybody ever been at the beach when there was giant waves? I'm talking about like walk out, knock you down, take you back waves. Okay, I want you to picture a wave that's just for, so because you can't go to infinity. Let's go 100 miles high, 100 miles wide, 100 miles deep, and it's about to break over you. That doesn't touch the wrath of God. Doesn't touch it. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you that's what God has in store for those who reject Him. The wrath of God. But the love of God sent His one and only Son to bridge that gap, to pay that price. The love of God offers you grace. Those three things, He convicts the world in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. He also convicts the church in the same way of the same three things. Even after we're saved, we still sin. Even after we're saved, He still convicts us of sinful things. Things that we're doing wrong that we ought not to do. Every time, that I don't know about you, but I still sin. But sin usually is not fun anymore. Because immediately the Holy Spirit's like, hey, what was that? Hey, what did you just say? Hey, what? Where were you just at? What did you just think? Whatever it might have been, the Holy Spirit immediately brings conviction. The longer you walk with Him, the quicker that conviction becomes. And which is good because I want to keep a short account with God, don't you? When He shows me my sin, I want to deal with it now. As Pastor Danny said just a moment ago, I want to repent. When it comes to repentance. So He brings conviction. Anytime God's a revealer, He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Holy Spirit is. He reveals. But He only reveals in order to heal. So when He reveals sin in my life, He wants me to repent. Now, when He reveals righteousness in the same way, so I'm not only convicted of the things I'm doing wrong, but the things I ought to be doing right. He brings conviction on me in regards to things that He might have commanded for me to do that I'm not doing. And all of a sudden, the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes over, and you're not trusting me with your finances. Why did you stop trusting me with your finances? Why did you stop giving to me? That's something that I ought to be doing, but I'm scared. If that's you today, the Lord's speaking to you. The Lord's speaking to you. He convicts in regard to sin and righteousness. He convicts in regard to judgment just as well. What I described to you just a moment ago of the wrath of God that's coming, that's very real. And maybe it's not for you, but do you want it to be for anyone that you know? Do you want it? No, of course you don't. For sin. Open your mouth and share. Be a witness for Him. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you. Almost done. He says, I still have many things to say to you. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. We're going to be ending with that today. He says, I'm not done, but this is all that you get right now. But I'm not through talking to you, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And we know from this point on, the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, and the Holy Spirit is going to inspire and speak through all of the other authors of the New Testament to complete the word that the Lord wanted to share of himself. The New Testament hadn't been written right now. He says, I'm not done. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and the Helper is going to come, and there's more to come. What we have is written word. We have his written word. Does that mean God's done speaking? Not even close. He's done speaking about this. You're not getting a new revelation tomorrow that's contrary to this. No one's getting it. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and he told me that the whole book of James is gone. It doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about that tongue thing anymore. No, that's not what he does. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of Jesus. And he does not speak contrary to the Father and Son, but only in tandem, only completely one and in line with them. So, he spoke in his word, but he still speaks today to the church. And he still asks obedience. I spent a lot of time last week and this week going back and introducing the person of the Holy Spirit and some of the things that he does, because I wanted you to get that again before we move forward with talking about him producing fruit and the gifts and all the things, because the Holy Spirit gets such a bad rap. I don't know why. He's God. Right? How can we be okay with God and not okay with the Holy Spirit? How can we be okay with Jesus and not okay with the Holy Spirit? He's the Spirit of Jesus that lives inside of us. We should not be afraid of him. Amen? We shouldn't be afraid to talk about him. He still speaks, but he doesn't speak something off the wall and out of left field. He's not going to speak to you in a way that contradicts Scripture. When he speaks, it'll point back to Christ. When he speaks, it'll bring about his manifest presence, and you'll recognize that it's about him. It's about him. Church, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We do. As I said before, we needed to go to Walmart. We needed to walk across the street. I needed to deal with my buddies and my neighbors, and they needed to deal with me. They need him in that way. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be aware of what he does within us, the role that he plays within us. Most of all, we need to recognize when he's tugging at the collar of conviction. Because he's a Holy Spirit. And he's called us to hold it. Amen? He's called us to hold it. Church, we need to be a holy church. Not a carnal church. A holy church. One that's very quick to return to him. It's very quick to bow the knee. It's very quick to repent. Very quick to listen. Very quick to act in obedience to what he says. When we are a holy church, when we strive for obedience to his word and listen to him, we will change the world around us. I promise you. We will. You will in your home. It will change the world around you because that's what the Holy Spirit does. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And the praise team's going to come up here. As we bring it to a close today, I just want to say you might be here today, and when I got to that part about the Holy Spirit convicting us in regard to sin and righteousness, my state and God's state, that might have resonated with you. You might have felt something within you that says, he's talking to you. Well, once they were talking to me when the preacher said those words. And it resonated with me. And if that's you today, the Holy Spirit is drawing you. He's bringing conviction on you. And he doesn't bring conviction for any other reason other than he wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. He loves you. He loves you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, and if you're not sure if you know Christ, you're feeling that tug at your heart from the Holy Spirit, you're not sure what that means, you're not even sure what the next step is, but you want to talk to somebody, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Nobody looking around. If you just lift a hand, I'll send one person to you to come pray with you. That's it. Anyone, anybody. Gentleman right here as well. Somebody there. Thank you. Standing right in the back right there. Thank you. Anywhere else? About not so close church. The Lord wants you to walk in step with him. He wants you aware of his presence at all times. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak in you. He wants to speak through you. He wants you to yield to him. I'm going to talk about what yielding looks like. Surrender to him. Give him the right of way. Let him lead. Let him lead. Father, I thank you for the two that raised their hands today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for their openness and their willingness, and Lord Jesus, I know that if there's one out for them that means business with you, or if you mean business with them. Lord, I know that all they have to do is surrender. You do all the work. You've done all the work. You offer us this free gift of grace. You offer us something that changes our lives forever. Walk in, to move in. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit guides and directs and all the things it does, Lord, teaches and reminds. Also, thank you, Lord, that your Spirit convicts. Continue, Lord, to bring conviction in my life, bring conviction in the life of your church. And Lord, let us be quick to answer that. Thank you, Father. We love you. Your mighty name is blessed. Amen. I'm going to ask y'all to stand and sing with me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're still going to do, even today, with the seeds that might have been planted. I pray, Lord, for an awareness of your people every moment of every day that you are with us and you are always. Give us ears, Lord, that begin to listen and a heart that responds when you speak. In your mighty name we pray, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in to this message from More to Life Ministries. If you would like to learn more about our mission of seeing lives transformed by Jesus Christ, please visit our website at m2lministries.com.